Happy Resurrection Day. Man, so thankful that you took some time this morning to come and celebrate with us this Easter. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. It was some months ago that I knew in my heart that our theme for this morning, for Easter 2019, was going to be rise. There was something about that word that just began to captivate my soul. As I just thought about the power of the resurrection, and that not only did Jesus rise, and that's why we're here to celebrate, but that I believe that God wants us to rise. Amen? Is anybody here feel like you want to rise this morning? Is that good? So I've known that this is going to be our theme for quite a while, but last Sunday afternoon, I got home from church, and my son, who lives up in Oregon, he's like the athlete, he's like a football coach, baseball coach, he calls and says, "Dad, are you watching TV today?" I'm like, "No, man, I've been at church. I just got home just a little bit ago." And he goes, "Well, you probably want to see what's going on. And would you put up that image for us? Because last Sunday afternoon, Tiger rose." He rose. I'm not talking about from the dead. Okay, we're not here to worship Tiger. But I have to tell you, when I heard the story of what happened, and when I saw that image, I just said, you know what? There is something in the spirit of that photo and of that moment that was captured that actually hits right at the heart of this message that God had already put in my heart for you today. Because we know Tiger's story. We know that he was at the top, at just the peak of his sport, and really at the peak of the world, man. And because we would all rush home from church, you know, a bunch of years ago, about 16 years ago, we were all rushing home from church to turn on to see what Tiger would do on Sunday afternoon. And he was a winner, and he was doing great. And then his life fell apart. Very publicly. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But man, his family exploded. He experienced so much personal devastation. And that's just been this like tragedy. And this, come on, Tiger, come on. And then last Sunday, he rose from the ashes of defeat. First time in 14 years winning the Masters Tournament. And when I saw that photo, I said, "Lord, thank you for doing that in Tiger's life, but we need some of that on us. We need that same thing that captivated our world with the story of celebrating Tiger rising from defeat." And on this Easter Sunday, I got to tell you that we're not here to celebrate Tiger. We're not here to worship Tiger. But I'm telling you, even as Jesus rose, he empowers you and me to rise. To rise. No matter what you have faced, no matter what brokenness, no matter what has been going on in your life, there is something that he has for you today on this Easter Sunday, 2019. And I want to share with you this morning, especially through the eyes of one of Jesus' most closest followers, one of his disciples. His name was Peter. And when I think about Peter, I think about somebody who was most like Tiger Woods. I really do. I think that Peter's life and Tiger's life had a lot of similarities. Peter's life didn't have so much golf, but probably had a DUI, okay? That was just kind of the way Peter rolled. Got pulled over on the chariot, you know? But Peter, like Tiger, was a bit of a rock star, even as a disciple. I don't know if you're familiar with all the stories of Scripture, but when you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that tell the story of Jesus and his closest followers, that there's one story in particular that's like, whoa, rock star. And that's that not only did Jesus walk on water, Peter walked on water. Like, the only one ever in history other than Jesus to walk on water, it says that Peter got out of the boat and walked on water. rock star. Now, he also sank, not Jesus, but Peter, which is kind of a description of his life, really high highs and some really low lows. But he walked on water, pretty amazing. Also, Peter was like a leader amongst the disciples. In fact, it was Jesus who looked at Peter one day and he said, "This is Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And Peter's like, "Whoa, that's me. I'm Peter, the rock." High highs. But I'm telling you, he also had some devastating setbacks in his life as well. Devastating and very, very public. One of the biggest setbacks that Peter had in his life actually came on the very night that Jesus needed him the most. I want you to put up that other picture. 3 weeks ago, yesterday, I took this photo in Israel. Kelly and I had the opportunity to go to Israel, and while I was there, I love taking pictures, and we went to this church 3 weeks ago. It's the Church of St. Peter, and it's right on the outskirts of Jerusalem, and there is captured in statue form the moment of the deepest, darkest time in Peter's life. Now, I'll tell the story in a moment, but I want you to think about this for a second. Would you get in your mind your very, very worst moment? I mean, like the moment that you wish that you could forget and that you would want no one to know about. Okay, everybody got like something in your mind, something deep, dark, bad, ugly, ugh, I hate that about myself, I just want to forget that moment. Now imagine that an artist came along and made a statue of you in that moment. And you're like, "Oh, get that image out of my eyes." But can I tell you that 2,000 years later, we are looking at Peter's worst moment, captured for all of time, for us to even have in church with us this Sunday morning to talk about Peter's failures. Yay! Anybody want a statue? No, okay. We'll pass on that. What this statue depicts is the worst moment in Peter's life. What had happened just a little bit earlier in the evening is that Jesus had met with his disciples and he had been talking to them about what was to come. He was talking to them about his death. And Peter's like, "No, no, no." He said, "Jesus, I would even stand and die for you." Jesus knew what was in Peter's heart. And he looked at Peter and he said, "No, not tonight, Peter." He said, "Tonight, you're going to deny that you even know me." What? Not one time. Not two times. Three times you're going to deny even being my friend, let alone my follower. Wow. And so, as the night goes on, true to exactly what Jesus said, soldiers came, they arrest Jesus, and they took Jesus to one of the high priest's homes. And as they were there, they were in a kind of a courtyard type environment, and exactly what Jesus said happened. Three times people come and say, "Hey, Peter, weren't you with that guy right there, the one that is being interrogated right now, that revolutionary, that Jesus guy?" And Peter's like, "Don't know him. That, no, 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 you've mistaken me for someone else." In fact, one of the times was with a young servant girl who said, weren't you with him? Weren't you with Jesus?" And there it captures the moment of Peter saying, "I don't even know him." Luke, one of the gospel writers, captures that very moment. It's in Luke chapter 22. And right at that time of that third denial, it says this. It says, And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And at that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. So somehow they were in this environment where they had line of sight with each other. And that third time that he denied Jesus, Jesus just and locks eyes with Peter. Could you just imagine the devastation that was going on in Peter's heart? Peter had walked with Jesus for 3 years. He'd walked on water with Jesus. He knew that Jesus was the Son of God, and yet he denied him 3 times. And Jesus' eyes locked onto his, and it says, suddenly the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me. You will deny 3 times that you even know me. And so Peter went outside and wept bitterly. He was at the lowest moment of his life. And then we know what happens in the hours to follow. That Jesus is tortured. He's taken to the cross. He's nailed to that cross. Hangs there for hours and dies. He's taken down from the cross. He's put in the grave. He's died and is buried. But then something interesting happens. On the morning of the third day, the disciples are shocked by what some women come and report. Jesus is alive. I mean, they've just been going through this weekend like from hell, right? Would you say? I mean, they were devastated, and probably no one more so than Peter, who'd had this very personal denial of Jesus, to not stand with him, to not stand up for him. And Luke goes on in his story, and he says this, when the women came with this report, it says this in Luke 24, but the story sounded like nonsense to the men. And all the ladies go, oh yeah, I know exactly what Luke's talking about right there. The women bring the true report, and the men, nonsense. This cannot be true. We saw him die. We know that he's buried. There is no way that he's alive. It sounded like nonsense. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Isn't it interesting that in Luke's story, it's like I'm watching this guy who's gone through so much devastation. And when he hears that Jesus is alive, it's Peter, it says, that jumps up and runs. And it says, stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home wondering what had happened. So he still was not convinced that Jesus was alive, but he's now like, oh, something is going on here. He's wondering. His heart is captured with wonder. And it was later that night that the disciples were locked in a room together in fear. And it says that Jesus appeared to them. He didn't have to knock on the door. He just appeared behind the locked door. And here was Jesus alive, standing in their presence. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And for these followers of Jesus, and I think maybe for Peter, most of all, Jesus' resurrection, him rising to life from the dead, it changed everything in Peter's story. Everything. The very same power that rose Jesus from the dead, we all of a sudden begin to see in Peter's life. And Peter couldn't shut up about Easter. I'm telling you, and I have never seen this until this Easter, looking at the life of Peter and what he said. Every time the guy opens his mouth, he's talking about Easter. Every time Peter opens his mouth, he's talking about the power of the resurrection. And I want us to take a look at three Easter promises, and they're from the words of Peter himself. Are you ready? Okay. The first promise that we have is that we can rise with Christ out of defeat. Out of defeat. It doesn't matter how dark the despair or how terrible is the defeat, that we can rise, even as Christ rose, that we can rise out of defeat. The message of Easter is that even as Jesus' death was not permanent, that neither does our defeat have to be permanent either. Whew, I'm so thankful for that. See, Peter went from being someone who denied even knowing Jesus to being the first one to stand up to the world and proclaim that he is the risen Lord. He was the one. Peter went from denier to proclaimer. He went from defeat to something way beyond. I love the fact that we have captured in the book of Acts this very early story. And it says that Peter was actually talking to some of the very same people in Acts chapter 3 that were the ones who conspired to put Jesus to death. He's talking to Jesus' murderers. And I want you to see what he says in Acts chapter 3. He says this. He says, "You killed the author of life." Now that statement alone, I mean, we could do a whole message just on that one idea. The author of life, God himself, you guys killed him. But he doesn't stop there. "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. And I am a witness of this fact." So then he goes on talking to these murderers. "You killed Jesus, so repent. Repent then and turn to God." And you may have heard that word, repent, before, you know, repent from your sin, repent from all the bad stuff. And when he says, and turn to God, that's literally what the word repent means. It means to turn from what we've been doing and to turn to a new path, to turn away from all the sin, turn away from the junk of our life, the brokenness, the hurt, the defeat, and to turn in a new direction toward God. So he says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins might be wiped out. Would you remember, these are the guys that killed Jesus. Now, if anybody had sin, a little sin issue to deal with, this may have been it. They killed Jesus. And Peter is saying to them that no matter how dark the defeat is that you've been caught up in, I know that you're the guys, you're the ones that murdered Jesus, but even you can experience forgiveness for your sin. Whew, I take great hope in that. Because if they could be forgiven of their sin, how much more you and me? How much more you and me could be forgiven for our sin? But the news even gets better about rising from defeat. Because listen to what he says. He says, repent, turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. Not only forgiveness, but refreshing can be yours. Now listen, defeat comes in so many different forms and fashions because everybody's got their own story. So your defeat, maybe not like what Peter experienced, may not be like what these murderers had done. Maybe some here. But I'm telling you, every single one of us deals with defeat in our lives. There's not one person here who, if you were honest, would not be able to say, or would be able to say, that, yeah, no, I haven't dealt with defeat in my life. It's all good. It's always been good. It's always going to be good. No, we deal with death and defeat. It's part of being human. But the amazing thing and the promise of Easter is that death and defeat do not have to be permanent. That we can turn our lives to the risen one and experience the rising, the resurrection from any defeat that we have faced. It is the power of God, and it is the promise of Easter for you and for me and for the world. Yes. Second promise that we find Peter talking about is that not only can we rise out of defeat, but we can rise into new life. Into new life. Now, in the Bible, in the New Testament, we not only have things like where Peter is quoted, like we read in Acts, things that he said, we actually have two letters written by Peter to other followers of Jesus. It's 1 and 2 Peter. So we actually have his own words written to others. Now, if you were to write a letter to other people, you'd be using words like you and your, right? And that's what's kind of written in 1 Peter. It's like he's talking to you, talking about your stuff. But I'm going to change the Bible this morning. Is that okay? No? Okay. Here's what I'm going to do. All I'm going to do is I'm going to change the pronouns that we're going to read in just a second. Because he was writing about you believers and whatnot. But here's what I know. That before Peter was able to share the good news with others, he had to be a recipient himself. And so I've just changed the yous to I's, okay, the yours to me, to what Peter had experienced, because I want you to see what the revolutionary change that took place in Peter's life because of the resurrection. And that he knew that he could rise not only out of defeat, but into new life. 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 18. I want you to look what he said. For I know that God paid a ransom to save me from the empty life I inherited. Now we know, okay, it said, the real words are, I know that he saved you, that he ransomed you from an empty life. But Peter, before he knew that for us, guess what? He had to know that for himself. Peter was saying, my life was empty. I was at the bottom. I was like just racked with defeat. I was like Tiger Woods in the not good years. I was messed up, empty. But he says, for I know that God paid a ransom to save me from the empty life I inherited from my ancestors. Listen, we got to be honest about family here, right? Peter being a little honest about family. We all inherit some of our brokenness because we were not raised by perfect parents. They were not raised by perfect parents. And if we trace our history back, we probably got some pretty bad folk in our like family tree. Probably, right? I'm just guessing. And if you go, oh, I don't know, well, then you just trace it all the way back further, because we all got jacked up in the garden. Adam and Eve were all of our equal ancestors. And through the brokenness that began in the garden, there has been brokenness throughout all of history. That's why we can say as a fact that all of us experience death and defeat as part of our human story. It just doesn't have to be permanent. But he said, man, I had inherited this empty life from my ancestors. But the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as my ransom long before the world began. But he has now revealed him to me in these last days. I've been ransomed. My life was purchased. I was empty and broken and defeated, but I've been ransomed. Now, today we know, you know, if someone like is going through something, we gotta like call and ransom them. The best we have is gold and silver to give as a ransom for someone's life. But Jesus had something far greater. He had his own precious and perfect blood. That just a couple of days ago on Friday, Good Friday, we celebrated Jesus' work on the cross. And it is the work of ransom. You and I, the entire world, the price has been paid for you and for me. New life. And he continues by saying, through Christ, I have come to trust in God. Why? It's the Easter story. I have placed my faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. I told you, Peter could not shut up about Easter. Because this, the miracle story, the promise of Easter is that not only could we rise from defeat, but into new life because our lives have been purchased by Christ, ransomed by him. What does it look like when just real people like you and me go through defeat and then are ransomed? I want you to hear a story, and I'm going to invite my good friends Mike and Roxanne Renteria up. Would you welcome them? Mic check. Hello. We on? Oh, yes, we're live. Listen, Mike and Roxanne, I got to know them a few years ago, not long after coming to Santa Maria Foursquare, and I just really fell in love with this couple. They're just sweet people. And they've got great smiles, but to really know them and fall in love with them, you got to get to know their kids because they're pretty awesome, three beautiful children. But you know what? I know that life has not just been beautiful and smiles. Okay. There's been some pretty significant defeat in your story. And Mike, why don't you just begin and just share a little bit of what that defeat looked like in your life?
Okay.
Here we go.
Getting raised up, I never really went to church, kind of like today, just like Easter, Christmas. So I really didn't know God growing up. Started around the age of 14, got into high school, started messing around with smoking pot, going to parties. 15, went to juvenile hall. 16, me and Roxanne had our first kid. Still smoking, still doing drugs, still partying. And had our second kid at 18. And still doing the same thing, but now me and her kind of going at it more, probably on the verge of not being together no more. And me just still doing me, still trying to just do drugs, just not seeking anything, not caring for my family, trying to just pretty much worried about myself. And
I just want to ask, so Roxanne, what was going on with you? Because this was not just his defeat alone that he was walking in. This was shared defeat, right? So talk to us about what you were experiencing.
So as his wife, I had many hopeless days where I felt like this was going to be it. I mean, he would really tell me, this is the way I am, so deal with it.
So I was born this way. Yeah. Right? Okay, just sorry. Yeah. Sorry, I had to go there. Yeah. Okay, all right.
So as the kids started getting older, that's when I started thinking, I mean, this is not the example I wanted for my children, but I knew that leaving wouldn't be the best for my children either, and I had to really trust God in that area, and I had to reach out to women who had experienced certain things, and we started going to counseling. We did counseling. We even went to Pastor Tim to talk about it, and I had my certain women that I would go to because I realized I couldn't go to my old friends anymore because they would just tell me, hey, just leave. What are you still doing with him? So I had to, you know, I had to talk to people who were going to tell me the right things, you know, and put the kids, and you can't do that. And I had my stepmom always telling me and praying over me. And so that helped me, and I started praying for God's eyes, for me to look at him the way God sees him, because I would be mad. It would anger me. I would want to fight with him. And then I started hurting for him, and I started really, really praying hard and contending. And Pastor Tim, talking about contending, he had said that prayer reshapes future. And I couldn't agree more with that, because those were my hardest times praying while crying, saying, you know, save my husband and help me to love him like you love him. And
Roxanne, I remember you saying too that, like, even like over his pipes and stuff, you were like praying over the very things that were the source of some of this defeat.
It was weird because one day I just saw it laying there and I said, you know what, I'm going to speak death over this thing. So I started speaking out loud. I said, in Jesus' name, it will not be in my house anymore. God rules over my home, and you will not be here any longer. And it was really weird because, I mean, it just felt like all of a sudden, because I had told God, 5 years, 10 years, Lord, I trust you. But once I started speaking death over those things, and, you know, like they say, Jesus Christ, that's the powerful, his name, you know? Yeah. I mean, so, yeah, after that, it just...
Yeah. So you're no longer living in defeat.
No, and that hasn't been in my house.
Yay! So tell us, Mike, okay, yeah. So Mike, tell us about that, like going from defeat, like into rising to new life. What was that like for you?
It started off with, obviously, Roxanne had the bigger push than I had to go into church. And my kids were coming, she was coming, and there'd be days where I didn't want to go to church. I just wanted to stay at home. I wanted to... If the Raiders were on Sunday, stay home, watch the game. And she would kind of get really sad, and she'd come home, and she'd be crying and saying, why didn't you want to go with me? And I said, you know, I'm going to go when I want to go to church. And then it was always a fight until finally she just stopped asking me, and she would go without me even if I didn't want to go. And then finally she wouldn't want to fight with me no more, and I just seen something else in her. And I was like looking at her like, man, what does she have that I don't have? And honestly, I knew what it was because I hear her listening to sermons. I heard her worshiping in the kitchen. And I said, you know what, I'm going to try going to church. And I actually wanted to come. I started meeting a lot of good people from church, a lot of guys that, you know, they were really here for me. And I started talking to Pastor Tim. And eventually, I started talking about my problems because I was at church high half the time. And a lot of people didn't know about that, and I knew about it, but I didn't want to share it.
Yeah.
So,
You think?
Yeah.
Put that on your name tag.
Yeah. So, that's...
We could make a statue.
Yeah.
No, I wanted... Well, we got a different statue planned. Okay, all right.
And sure. So finally, I believe we came to worship night one night, and Pastor Tim... just gave a good message and just asking if you have anything that you want to let go, to go around a group of guys and let them know what it is. Yeah. And at this part, I'm like, man, I'm not telling nobody about this. And God's like, you got to let this go. Like, you really got to let it go. And so I got a group of guys, and I thought it was silly because I'm like, man, weed's not a drug. You know, I do this all the time. But I said, you know what? I was doing it not only to be high. I was doing it to be secure with myself. I didn't even need to smoke it. It was just, if I had it, I was in a good state of mind. If I didn't have it, it was going to be a bad day. And I told these group of guys about it, and they started praying over me. They're telling me, like, you know, it's not bad, but, you know, you're going to get over this. You're going to find a victory over this. And finally, I think it was like 3 days later, I woke up in the morning, and I'm like, not craving weed no more. It was weird. Like, I'm like, why don't I want to smoke no more? And it was kind of just gone.
You know, and I remember one of the things that you told me that was really meaningful to you, and I think that some guys shared with you that that God wasn't so interested in changing the habit, but tell us what they said.
So one of my buddies was talking to me, and he was just, you know, preaching on me, and he was, first he was telling me, like, you know, I know you go to church, and they're telling you to change your habits, change your habits, change your habits. He's all, well, have you ever gave your heart to God? For God can change your habits.
That's so good.
And I actually had to let God into my heart.
Did you catch that?
Yes.
It's like God's going to take care of the habits in his time. You give him your heart, and he's going to give you the power to change those things that need changing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, Roxanne, I want to give you the last word here. So, you see something amazing shift in this guy out of defeat into a whole new life. So talk to us about what that was like as a wife and a mom. And
I felt really ecstatic. I felt like this is the man. I mean, and no one's going to be perfect, but this is the example I want for my children.
Yeah.
Is, you know, sober and, you know, godly, a godly man. And now he's waking up. You know, come on, guys, church. I'm like, whoa. You know, and I just feel like being faithful, that God was so faithful, and I felt like I had to be faithful to him too, to truly trust him and to continue going to church. And I know that's not easy. It wasn't easy. So it was just awesome to witness Mike's transformation. And
amen.
I know only through Jesus Christ that happened.
Yes. Hey, would you say thank you to Mike and Roxanne? Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Now listen, I know that every family's story is different. And that may not be your story. That may not be your place of defeat. It was theirs. And God enabled them through his power, the resurrection power of Jesus, enabled them to rise out of that defeat. But each one of us, if we're honest, has our own places of brokenness, our own places of defeat. Things either that we've done, or things that others have even done that have come against us that has left us broken and defeated. But I'm telling you, the message that Peter is bringing to us today is that you can rise with Christ. You can rise out of defeat into new life. And then this is the last thing right here. The final words of Peter is that not only can you rise out of defeat, into new life, but guess what? To a new destiny as well. That your future does not need to be marked by your past. Now, we take our past with us, but God will redeem and renew and give us a new future. Mike and Roxanne's future, their destiny, is not founded on their past. It's founded in the power of Jesus. Last thing that we're going to look at that Peter said, and I don't even need to change the pronouns. Also from 1 Peter chapter 1, he says this, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. And that little phrase, being born again, that captures the idea of what a new life in Christ is to look like that we've been talking about. Being born again was the language that Jesus used, that he said, hey, you're alive in the flesh, but spiritually there's still death there. You're still in the defeat, walking in the defeat of what life has brought you. But we have been born again. Why? Listen, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. There he is again talking about Easter. Now, listen to this, now we live with great expectation, for we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. Somebody right here needs a great expectation. Listen to this, friends. I want to. We're just going to finish with this. You can have that same knowledge that I can live with great expectation about my future, about my tomorrows. That my destiny does not need to be defined by those ancestors who kind of through them I inherited an empty life. And some of you think about your family of origin and just your background. You go, man, if I would have just had a different family, if I would have been raised differently, if I would have been raised maybe with an intact family where mom and dad were present and loved me, maybe if there wasn't drugs or alcohol in the house, maybe if I hadn't faced abuse, maybe, you know, all these different things. But we know that all the world has for us is emptiness. We know that even the best sometimes parents and grandparents and family can do, they still kind of bring brokenness, spill that brokenness onto our lives. But what we are seeing through God's word and through the lips of Peter, who knew what it was like to have emptiness in his life and to have brokenness and despair. But because of Easter, because Jesus rose from the dead, that we can now have a great expectation for our destiny. That your destiny is not the destiny of your parents, not the destiny of your grandparents. It's not the destiny of the people sitting next to you. It is your destiny in Christ Jesus, because not only did he die for you, but he rose in power and he is ready to give you his power to rise out of defeat into new life and to a new destiny in him. I want to have our worship team come back and we're going to close. We may sing just a small bit more. I Will Rise is one of the songs that we sang earlier. And I would love to just put that on our lips before we leave. But more than just sing, I want to pray. And I want to give you an opportunity to say, I want to rise. I need to rise. And I'm going to basically ask two different things. I'm going to ask, is there an area of defeat in your life that you are wanting to break through? Is there something current going on in your story that you go, I have just been under it? Maybe like Peter, I've just been at a place of brokenness, a place of some despair, a place that I need to rise up out of. And I've only been able to operate in my strength. I need the resurrection power of Jesus to help bring me from my place of defeat. Out of addiction. Out of depression. I think there's probably somebody in this room who has been so devastatingly terrible in life that you've even been contemplating taking your own life. Defeat. And Jesus is here to tell you today that he did not come to bring judgment and condemnation on you, but as we read in Peter's words, he actually came that you would be freed and forgiven, not only from your sin, but to be refreshed, like made new in him. So we're going to pray for people who are going through places of devastation and brokenness, but I also am going to pray for any today that say, I want that new life. I don't want to just like get out of defeat. I want a new life in Jesus. Peter used those words, being born again. Now you listen, I'm telling you, if I were to ask you right now, do you have a driver's license? You would know, yes or no, I've either got it or I don't. And if I ask, are you born again? Have you received of the work of Jesus that he did on the cross and rising again? Have you been born again? You know, yes or no, that is either is my story or it's not. And today on Easter Sunday 2019, Jesus wants you to know that you can rise. Rise out of defeat and into new life with a new destiny in him.